So join me, if you will, in an opening treatment. There is only one power, one light, one life, and it is present right here with us right now. It is the thing that makes our hearts beat, that fills our lungs with air. It is that which moves us and gives us ideas through which we think, feel, move, and have our being. This one power is all there is and all there needs to be, and I am now immersed within it and aware of that immersion. So as I move into this time together, I do so with an open heart, an open mind, and an openness to new ideas bubbling up inside of me in response to the things I hear and experience. I move into this with ease, with joy, and with love. I let this be so, and so it is. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Because we know who we are, because we know what we are divine expressions of an infinite power, an infinite intelligence. You are spirit's opportunity. You're the universal mental intelligence. It's its opportunity to be something special and unique. Nobody's been you before. Nobody's played you before. Nobody can or will or would. So make the best of it. Enjoy it. We're here to celebrate it. That's why we call this a celebration of life. We're here to celebrate the life that we each are. So we welcome you. If it's your first time with us, we give you a special welcome. We have some visitor packets in the back. Be sure and pick one up. And if you have any questions at all, there are several of us who will be around to talk with you afterwards or answer those questions if we can. And if you don't have any questions, that's fine too. My first several weeks coming into this place was got here late and left early because I didn't want to talk to anybody because I was afraid of what they'd do to me. But we aren't going to do anything to you except love you, I promise. And so if you're here, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. Thank you. You may notice we're having a little difference up here now. We're starting to put things on the board up front. We're going to continue to increase that, and you'll see more and more of it over the next few weeks. Want to give us a chance to have a little bit of visual as well as auditory going on in the room, and that will, I think, engage us, all of our parts, not just our hearing parts, but our speaking, seeing, and knowing as well. We know we learn more and we experience more if we have more inputs coming from more places. So I hope you find that enjoyable. Yes, we are aware there's no heat. There's lots of heat. There's no air conditioning. I'm told that maintenance is on the way over to work on it. We came into this surprise this morning. So you are in the south. Now you know why. You remember in the old days, the funeral homes always made little fans for the churches to fan so you wouldn't burn up. So you're in the south. You're used to it. We'll manage it. If you need to take off a layer or two, that's okay. Just know where to stop. And that'll be just fine, you know? I trust you all in your integrity and your good taste where that's concerned. All right, so we move into this time together of really celebrating who we are and what we're about. And to do that, to take us to the next part of that, our lead practitioner, one of our lead practitioners, we have two, is going to bring you a presentation and a wonderful opening treatment or treatment to really settle us in to the truth of who we are. So I give you Doug Moody. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Yes, this is our warm-up for the Music Midtown Festival. If you're going to be attending it today, this is what you're going to be in. So much going on, and we're so fortunate to have a center based in such a dynamic, growing, bustling area of the city of Atlanta. As I said, this is Music Midtown weekend, and just last night, there were concerts going on in Piedmont Park, and there was a couple of performances going on at the Woodruff Arts Center. Vanessa Williams was opening up the symphony's season, which was pretty exciting. Jerry was there, and we also had right next door the musical Becoming Nancy, a different expression of music, but all art and all appealing to so many different people. It's just wonderful to have this all around us. And it just reminded me that all these beautiful and diverse expressions are all divine. And, you know, with this life in music, is just reminding me of our oneness in humanity and how we can all come together, and the world is a beautiful place. If we're ever to really experience our own spiritual magnificence, we must honor, respect, and celebrate the potential in each other and in every human being, knowing that we're all divine and all from the same creator and made of the same stuff. And Vanessa Williams last night in her concert took it a step further in her opening song and reminded us that it's the right stuff. And each and every one of you, and me, and Reverend Dean, and Patrick, all of us, we all have the right stuff already within us. It's all divine. All we have to do is recognize it, share it with the world, and recognize and respect it in each other. Ernest Holmes, in his Beverly Hills Lectures in 1952, said it another way in terms of all this diversity. He said, "Since everything is an individualization of the universal, every spark of life is alike in that it is divine. It is made of the same cosmic stuff, but no two sparks are identical. The process in nature is the multiplication of infinite variation of the unified identities, no one of which is identical with the other, even though each and all are of the same field." In other words, we're not supposed to all be just alike. That's what makes the world go around. Can you imagine how boring it would be if every single being on the planet were exactly alike? So we must celebrate this. And we see it reminded around us constantly in nature and science. You know, no two snowflakes are exactly the same. No two leaves, even from the same tree, are exactly alike. It's the law of nature. It's God, it's creation at work. So we must embrace that. And I found a video that I want to share with you this morning. And I think it ties in beautifully with Reverend Bob Dean's talk entitled Celebrating the Good in All Life. So let's just take a look at it and soak this in for a few minutes, if you will. So you see, when we drop all the labels, we realize that none are really necessary. And that's a conscious choice that you and I can make right here and right now and each and every day. And it's a beautiful choice, and it is wonderful, and so are you. And so now we come to the time where we're going to join in affirmative prayer. And I'm going to ask you to just sit back and relax in your seats. I'm going to say this in the first person. Take in whatever resonates with you. Uncross all limbs. Be open and receptive, and know this with me. There's only one power, one infinite intelligence, one cosmic something operating throughout the universe and operating through me and all, right now and always. I am one with this infinite intelligence that is God, as is every beautiful soul present. I can never be separate from this divine power for love and peace and clarity, because it is always shining forth from within me and each. That still voice of unlimited wisdom and possibility, expressing perfectly and uniquely as me and all present. Though we are unique and different, we are of the same stuff, of the infinite creator, and I and all are one. And today and every day forward, I know I am blessed with the infinite creative power that is God, and I use this power to co-create a life overflowing with love, peace, harmony, and clarity, knowing that I am one with everyone on this planet, with Mother Earth, and in one mind. I claim divine wisdom, divine right action, love, and courage to guide me in each present, to grow and expand this consciousness of love, this celebration of all life. I allow myself to feel, radiate, and celebrate this joyful expression of uniqueness, knowing that the sum of the total is beautiful and exactly what God intends. And it all starts with me and each right now. My mind and heart are open and receptive to today's lesson, knowing that there's something right here and right now that's exactly what I need to know at this time to move me and each forward in a greater expression of life. I claim this with divine wisdom for myself and for all present. My mind, my heart, my spirit are overflowing with gratitude, joy, and great expectations, with love for the opportunity to think and co-create my life. I am grateful for this teaching, for this center, and for the mindful consciousness within me and within every beautiful soul present. And knowing this, I joyfully release my word into the universal law, knowing it is done. I simply let it be so, and it is wonderful. And together we say, and so it is.
Ah, lots of imagination, yes. Okay, good job. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're going to use a lot of imagination to imagine it's cooler. We're also going to use a lot of imagination to imagine that the world's a better place than we thought it was when we walked in here. Because it is. It depends on what you're looking at, because what you're looking at is what you're looking with. And and that's a really important distinction. But that has nothing to do with what I was going to talk about. So, you know, as long as people have been people and have been aware that there are powers that affect our lives, we have looked for a way to be saved from what we have perceived to be negative powers that we have no control over. Maybe you haven't, but you know friends who have, right? I mean, I looked to be saved this morning from the power of the water company, who in DeKalb County said, you got to boil your water before you drink it. I ran to the grocery store last night and got the last big jug of water, so I got saved from that by the other water company. We all look for things to rescue us. We have pain within us. We have upset within us because of things that happen. And people look for something on the outside of themselves so often to fix that, to make it better, to do away with it. People turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to video games. They turn to, as I often do, YouTube. That's my favorite drug of choice right now. I love YouTube. I can get lost for hours in YouTube and not even think about anything, because I just go from one cute idea to the next and explore this. And it all feels important because I'm learning stuff. I mean, it may not be anything I'll ever use or even care about, but I'm doing it because I'm looking for relief at that time from whatever anxiety or whatever thing might be going on. Now, again, you've got a minister who's growing up in front of you, so deal with it. And we're looking for freedom from sin, from separation. I came out of a religious tradition that spent a whole lot of time talking about sin. A lot more time talking about sin than they did about what it's like to live a free, relieved, loving life. But despite that, I learned about love in that religion. I learned about loving other people unconditionally in that religion, which is kind of an interesting paradox. But we were all looking for freedom from sin. We're looking for the saviors to show up. And in the ancient pre-Jewish cultures in the Middle East, the whole community freed themselves and got saved from their sins of the year by putting the sins on this poor little lamb and sending it out into the wilderness to get eaten by the foxes or whatever, the wolves. Pretty unpleasant, horrible kind of stuff, actually. And then we begin to wake up. Somewhere along the way, we begin to discover that consciousness is really where it's happening. That whatever salvation there is for me, whatever redemption, sidetrack. Remember S&H green stamps? You could redeem all kinds of cool stuff with those. We used to collect them in school and try to get, you know, big stuff. Anyway, never mind. Redemption. We look for things outside of ourselves. But what we've discovered now is that the real redemption is in our consciousness, not in anything else anybody can do. Now, most of the time, I like that idea. Sometimes I'm not so crazy about it. It's all inside. Then we begin to discover that the old translations of the word sin really meant missing the mark. It was an archery term, and it just meant you didn't quite hit the bullseye. That's all it meant. It didn't mean you have been destroyed and were going off to this awful thing and you should probably never do archery again and quit trying to live your life. It just meant you missed the mark. And then we took it that maybe there's a place in consciousness to get back on the mark or to simply forgive ourselves for missing the mark. How cool is that? Loneliness and separation is a big thing people are looking for redemption from. You want to get redeemed from feeling alone and lonely and being apart and being separate. Maybe you don't, but your friends do. And so we look for all kinds of ways to connect. I finally got it. I never understood why thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathered in a football stadium to watch sports when you could see it up close on your TV at home. I mean, come on, people. All that traffic and all those crowds, and why bother? Because we're looking for connection. I learned that from a wonderful guru who talked about our urge to merge and our urge to be connected and feel connected, and we'll go to great lengths to do that, whether it's an Amway convention or a sports stadium or wherever, so that we can get together and do that and be that. But that urge, that desire, while it's very good and wonderful, is mostly driven by not knowing who we really are and not understanding where we really live. Because we have all learned based on our vision, based on our five senses, that we're in this place where I'm up here and you're out there, where that person over there looks different from this person down here, where I am separate from you, and you probably, if you knew me, wouldn't like me anyway, and, right? Probably just me. But people do that. People think that way. What we discover is when we know who we really are and where we really are, then that belief in and experience of separation, that belief in and experience of loneliness, all of that begins to dissolve. And then we still go to the football games and the Amway conventions or wherever else to gather with groups, but not because we feel like we're not going to be connected if we don't, but because then we're there to celebrate that connection, because we recognize who we are. We just won. Tom Johnson, an old-time minister, he wouldn't like being called that because he never thought of himself as old, been gone from the planet for a while, dressed always, no matter where he was speaking, he was dressed to the nines with a big fluffy thing in his pocket, all that. He said, "How many people are in the room?" And if the audience didn't immediately shout back, "One," he'd keep asking, "How many people are in the room? How many people are in the room?" There's one. One. We're all one. So when I'm looking at you, what I'm really seeing are images of you that are measured in my brain and in my heart that are really about just reflections of myself. Any judgments I think about you, any things I'm saying about you in my head, like, ooh, that one shouldn't dress like that today. Or, ooh, I wish I'd have dressed like that today, especially the shorts. You know, all of that is just processing here. And one person in the room, one energy in the room, one being in the room. We're like the aspen grove. You know the aspen grove? There's one that covers hundreds of square miles out in Colorado. And it's one plant. It looks like a lot of different aspens, lots of trees, but they all have one root system that they share. It's all united. It's all one. And that's who we are. That's who we are and where we are. We live in a universe that is one energy and one power. Years ago, when I joined a 12-step meeting, one of my pals in that meeting said, being a part of this group means you'll never be alone again unless you choose to. Understanding who you are in this teaching means you'll never be alone again unless you choose to. Or unless you forget who you are and where you are. We live in a user-friendly universe. We live in this big soup of spiritual truth, of personal truth, of life that is responding to us and vibrating back and forth according to what we believe in. So that when you start believing in separation and loss and being alone, sure enough, you're separate, lost, and alone because nobody shows up to be with you. But as soon as you change your mind about that, you can't get rid of them. Because we're all looking for connection. And whether it's that or sin, oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but I grew up with lots of shame and guilt. I felt guilty because how I felt. I felt guilty because of what I thought. I felt guilty because of the one time I didn't do what my sister wanted and I was supposed to be a good big brother. I felt guilty for dropping her on her head when she was about 11 years old and I was twice her size. I felt guilty for all kinds of things, and that guilt turned into shame. If I have all of these bad things I've done, there must be something bad about me, which is what shame is. It's not that I did something wrong, but I am something wrong. That's because I didn't understand who I am. Because despite all of that stuff, inside, underneath, and behind, I'm a divine expression of a divine beingness that's showing up uniquely as me, dropped sister and all. You know, there's no reason to keep carrying that stuff and believing those things about ourselves except a false premise about what life's about and who we are. And when I have a false idea of myself, I'm going to have a false idea about you. That's when I start thinking you should be more like me. God help us. Please no. Or I start thinking you should be the opposite of me, and then I get mad at you when you're not. When you start reflecting myself back to me. You ever have that experience? You meet somebody and you don't know why you don't like them? You just don't. And then after a bit, you realize, yeah, well, there's my this, and there's my that, and there's my the other, and there's my depression, and there's my sadness, and there's my anger, and I don't want to see it. So I just won't deal with you anymore. I'll go back to my video games or my YouTube or whatever you might find to get away from all that. And all it does then is just sit there and simmer. Whereas when you understand who you really are and where you really are, you know you're not stuck with any of that. I mentioned my sister. I dropped her on her head when she was about 11 because I was carrying her by her feet over my shoulder like kids were playing together, and I dropped her. And I've carried that guilt for years. When I was in my late 40s, I called her one day and said, I just need to clear something with you. I feel so horrible that I dropped you on your head. And I know you've not been messed up by it, even though the family joke was everything wrong with her from that point forward was because I dropped her on her head. And she doesn't have a whole lot wrong with her, but that was our story. And she just started, I mean, I was in this really angst and agony. You know how that goes when you're really feeling bad about something, you're trying to clear it up. And she just laughed and laughed and laughed on the phone, and I started to hang up on her because it was just no fun to listen to her laugh at me like that. She finally got herself together enough to respond, and she said, well, do you don't remember why you dropped me? And I'm like, no, I have no idea. She said, well, you had me by the feet and were bringing me in the house like we were playing, and I was hanging down right next to your butt, and I bit you. I thought it'd be a funny thing to do. I didn't expect you to turn loose. Well, any self-respecting kid's going to turn loose, right? Get free of the pain. I carried that guilt and shame for so many years. You didn't need to. You guys are better than I am, so you don't have to do that. But what you do is you recognize, you start to look at all this stuff I carry in myself about what's wrong with me, what's not good about me, what I'm not doing right, and find a different way to think about it. We say in this teaching all the time, change your thinking, change your life. Change what you think about, what you dwell on, where you put, and when you find that you have trouble doing that, make yourself find something else. Kennedy used to say, once you do a spiritual mind treatment, or once you change your mind, grab yourself by the back of the neck, grab your consciousness by the back of the neck, and say, remember, this work is done. Remember who you are. He used to be very unsympathetic. You may remember that, those who knew him. I called him once when I was whining a lot about a place I was working, and he listened for about 2.5 minutes. And then he said, well, you know, you wanted a place to heal. You got one. Bye. He also used to say to us, you got this and that going on? Get over it. Because you can. Because there's a goodness in you. There's a power in you that has the power to get over anything that you want to get over. Anything can be healed and changed and made better. That's the simple teaching of this teaching. It's a very powerful thing. This whole month we're talking about the simple teachings. That's one of the really simple teachings. See, what we say in what it's simplicity, it doesn't mean it's easy. God's all there is. There's one power, one spirit, one universal something. I love the reading you did. It fit right with this. And we live in it. And it responds to us according to our beliefs. And we say often, there's a power for good in the universe and you can use it. When you say that, what do you think about where that's located? Is it way out there somewhere? I propose to you it's right here. There's a power for good in the universe. It is in me and in you. And it's my thought. It's my feeling. It's my repetitious self-talk. There was a great book out a number of years ago that began to really look at this whole thing of self-talk and how it works and how we abuse ourselves with it. You may talk to yourself the same way people did when you were growing up. Or the maybe even worse, the way you really think about yourself sometimes. If you talk to other people, if most people talk to other people the way they talk to themselves, the world would be a whole lot more chaotic. Self-talk is a way to begin to change that thinking. Change that way we've been and the way we are. See, because the other part of our teaching that's simple but complex is that there's only one mind, but there are two aspects to it. There's a conscious mind that you walk around with and you think about things. Choose a parking place. Decide what to wear on Sunday morning or wherever else you're going. And then there's that subjective or subconscious mind that's operating. See, and your objective conscious mind is stronger and determines what's in that subconscious subjective mind by what you think about. But it's the subconscious subjective mind that controls your experiences. That's where the experience part comes from. So you tell yourself forever, you want a relationship. I want a relationship. I want a loving relationship. Men are pigs, men are pigs, men are pigs. I want a loving relationship. Men are pigs, men are pigs. Your subjective mind has two messages. It don't know what to do with that. Or I want a loving relationship, but let me tell you how awful people are. I mean, on and on it goes. You get it. You know what I'm saying. The simple teaching is if you want a loving relationship, start telling yourself, your subjective subconscious mind, I demand for you to show me whatever beliefs I have within me that are blocking me from having a wonderful relationship that I imagine. I demand that my subconscious mind show me what blocks do I have to prosperity. I believe in prosperity. I live in an infinite universe of opulence, surrounded by it all the time. A walk in the woods, a walk down the street, anywhere I go. Whatever I have in my mind that's saying no to that, I demand my subconscious mind, show it to me. so I can tell it the truth and get it out of here. Because it ain't the truth. If it's anything about separation, if it's anything about not deserving, if it's anything about not being good enough, then I'm telling myself a lie. There's a great meditation in the textbook where Ernest Holmes says, I will no longer lie to myself and tell myself I'm hungry, lonely, and afraid. I'm not sure hungry was in there, but lonely and afraid for sure. Yeah. Because the more we tell ourselves that, you know, and we're bombarded with all these messages that if we're not careful, we start reacting to and responding to and saying that kind of stuff back to it. My dear sweet mother used to always end almost every conversation with, well, it's a wicked old world. No. It's not. Quit telling yourself that. It's a world that is struggling to find itself and understand itself in light of this new oneness that's being brought into it and shown to it and shined upon it. And the old patterns of us and them, yes and no, right and wrong, just are bouncing up against it. And the chaos that we're experiencing is simply that chaos of being in the midst of a change, of a paradigm shift. People are talking about oneness in politics now for the first time ever. People are talking about oneness in places and ways that haven't been done before. And we aren't used to it. You know? I went and worked out the other day, and I worked out a whole lot more than I'm used to, and I paid for it. You got to work into it. You got to get used to it. The world is getting used to it. These new ideas, this new way of being, our simple teaching. It really is. We're really there, ready for it. So you have the power within you to change your life experience by changing how you think about yourself and what you say to yourself over and over again. And what you believe about yourself. Because Jesus in the Golden Rule, which shows up in all kinds of religions and spiritual practices across the globe at various times and in different ways, says, do unto others, no, sorry, wrong one, not the Golden Rule, the love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it came across as a command. You should love your neighbor as you love yourself, when I heard about it, which means you always be nice to them. Problem is, we do love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And if you're not very nice to yourself, you're probably not very nice to the neighbors either. Because in truth and in fact, we cannot be to someone else what we aren't in ourselves. We can try, and we can attempt to hide the fact that we feel so bad about ourselves by being really sweet and nice to other people. They have a program for that. But the truth is, it always shows up what we really are and who we really are. So the first place to go in changing the world is ourselves. Quit beating yourself up. Now, I'm probably the only one that ever does that, but it's still there for people. Do you beat yourself up? Or do you hide that you beat yourself up by beating up other people in your mind? You know, that old, I'm okay, you're not okay. I used to say, I'm okay, you're not okay, but that's okay. Rationalization is a wonderful tool. We can hide from ourselves forever with that, but the truth is, I'm okay, you're okay, because I know who you are. Regardless of your behavior at any given moment. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept your behavior. Your behavior has to be okay, but I'm not going to stop accepting you. You are a divine being, no matter who you are, or what you're saying or doing or thinking at any given moment. We have tools that we teach here in this programs, in our classes. We learn to think more clearly about who we are and who other people are. We do affirmations. We do spiritual mind treatments to clear our minds. That's why I still like the term spiritual mind treatment. I know it's not popular anymore, But because we are not praying for anything outside of ourselves, we're treating our consciousness so my mind can talk to my mind and get it straight. Because until then, it's a mess. Right? Right. So forgive me, it may not be as marketable, but that's okay. We'll find a way to talk about it. I'm waiting for the time when the whole world is talking about spiritual mind treatments. Because treating my mind to spiritual truth is the most powerful thing on the planet. That's what this teaching is all about. That's what we brought to the world. That's what we continue to bring to the world. And that's what makes us a little different than in some other places. Not right or wrong, not better or worse, just a little different. And one of the most powerful practices comes from our Eastern brothers and sisters, where they teach us to say namaste. The spirit in me salutes the spirit in you. The God in me honors and recognizes the God in you. The goodness, if the God word is annoying to you, goodness in me celebrates the goodness in you. And every time you say that, you are saying, I'm good, and you're good. And we're going to connect on that goodness, which is a higher plane of consciousness than we are on our differentness and our separateness and our craziness. Sense? And we can do that. It's a simple, silly practice. And some people don't like anything that's repetitious because it sounds religious. Well, it might be. But you know what? It's a good practice. It's like affirmations. It's like slogans that we say all the time, you know, that begin to go from our conscious mind into that subjective mind and make a difference there. Because when we pour enough of those good ideas into that subjective consciousness, that subconsciousness, it says yes, because that's all it can say. And when we get more of those good ideas than we have of the bad ideas, the shift begins to happen within us. And we go, wow, this feels different. The world doesn't look so dark and ugly as it used to. I don't look so dark and ugly as I used to. I look in the mirror and I don't just see that whatever shape the body's in at the time. And then our world around us begins to change and shift. Our experiences begin to shift and change. We walk into a room and we meet friends instead of enemies, or we meet friends instead of strangers. And we find out that if I'm an infinite expression and I know you are, I can speak with you very easily. I had a beautiful conversation a couple of weeks ago with Reverend Barbara King, Reverend Dr. Barbara King. I've been scared of that woman forever. I mean, she's this tall. She's got one of the most powerful, progressive, exciting places of work and ministry in Atlanta. Always has had. I got to meet her like 30 years ago, and I just couldn't even say anything but blah, blah, blah. Because I was so awed by her. When I met her this time, I'm still awed by her. But I said, you know what? I'm God, she's God, Spirit's got me, Spirit's got her, we're who we are. And we had a wonderful conversation about Atlanta, about spiritual teachings here, about ministerial life in the city of Atlanta. And we just happened to be in a room at a time where we had time to kill, and we just sat and had a wonderful time. All these other people were kind of around, so great. She was like in the one soft, comfortable chair, and the rest of us got the hard chairs. And while we were waiting for our guests, she just kind of sat there and no one talked to her or anything. And it's like I never had. But once we connected, it was beautiful and wonderful. I got a good hug and gave her a good hug. And she's 90 years old now. She's still doing her center. She's retiring. She's in the process, but clear and sharp as ever. And we ended it by her saying, you know, I haven't had a man hug in a while, so this is really sweet. I didn't tell her. She's kind of maybe not getting the whole thing, but I did tell her that I would be available to give her a man hug anytime she wanted it. Just call me, and I will, and she will, and we'll be in touch after this. So, you know, life is too good and rich to miss the goodness in other people. All I could see was the aloofness in her, but I could then see the goodness, and we connected on that level. You can do that in your everyday life. Agmandingo was one of my first people to ever read about this teaching. And he, in The Greatest Salesman in the World, he used to say, when you meet someone and shake their hand, say in your mind, I love you and I see you. and watch how experiences change. And they did. And it was wonderful. You have that ability within you. You have everything within you that you could possibly need to live a rich and full and wonderful life. And yes, it takes some practice and some work and some very brave willingness to look at your own stuff instead of all the other things that are much more relaxing and appealing to look at. So I invite you to do that. Because you're wonderful. And so am I. And so it is. Thank you. So let's take a moment. Let's go within. Let's remember who we are. In this moment, in this place, I remember who I am. Not just the identity, the name, the personality. I know all of that. But I choose to go deeper. Deeper into myself. As I tap into the awareness of the energy that I am, of the feeling that I am, of the consciousness that I am. And I'm aware there's a part of me that is not limited by any of those previous definitions. And I may not have words for it, but I feel it. So I open myself in this moment to that larger me. That me that fills up this entire room. That me that's aware of all around me, way beyond my physical limitations of my body. And as I tap into who I truly am, I'm aware that I'm just one part of this infinite energy, this infinite consciousness. What I'm thinking with is that consciousness. What I'm feeling with is that consciousness. The ground I stand on, the chair that holds me in loving support, is part of that consciousness. The varieties of people that I encounter in my life are the varieties of life that are available to me as who I am. My alter egos, my alter selves. I think of those people that I most adore and appreciate and love. And I recognize them to be living in the same consciousness that I have. That's why I adore them. They show me myself. I think of those people that I don't like. And I thank them for showing me the parts of me that still need to grow and need to open up. And I claim and declare, namaste. Namaste for each one. Spirit, the life, the livingness, the God in me sees the spirit, life, and goodness and livingness in you. Even if I don't have words for it. I choose to walk this path of truth, of self-awareness, of other awareness, because I know this is the beginning point for changing my world. I do that with ease, with grace, with courage. And I move forward from this place right now, knowing I am changed at heart. This is my truth. I let it be. And I let it be so. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, to spend time with you, and to do this. The opportunity continues now to participate in this whole business of oneness. We do that with our giving, with our receiving. We have all been receiving and giving right in this last part of the hour, or this whole part of the hour, and we continue that process through our giving and receiving of our offerings, our tithes. Thank you to everyone who contributes for here, for this center, for this place, and give me this opportunity to speak to you. In that gratitude, let's join together in our... I know you don't usually stand, but I want you to stand because I want you to get it. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and it all share with life returns to me, multiplied, and so it is. Okay, so a few closing announcements. You probably have all heard by now, and if you haven't, then I have sad news for you, and that is that Ray McCants has made his transition. He spoke here a few weeks, well, months ago now, and he had a sudden medical issue, and it just went like that, and they had no... they tried to control it. He went into the hospital, etc. He had a brain hemorrhage and was gone. So he passed away last Thursday morning, and early Thursday morning. He's a great loss. He was a great friend to many of us. He's been my friend for 40 years, and so it was a loss to me. He was one of the people who really welcomed me to the community when I came back, and so... Much love to his family, to his friends. Hold him in high remembrance, as well as to those we know who loved him. We don't have any information yet about what kind of memorial or other things will be happening, but that will be coming before long. As soon as I have it, I'll put it in either the newsletter or on the website or email or somewhere. So that's going on. Some other great changes we are having. Our Tuesday night class on the Essential Earnest is now moving to Thursday night. We have some other people who can come by doing it Thursday, and since it's all online, it doesn't matter what night it is, as far as I'm concerned. So we're moving starting this coming week, there will not be a Tuesday class at all. There will just be a Thursday evening class on the Essential Earnest. You can get all the information online, and I don't know if there's a flyer out front as well, if you want to see what that is. That's where you get these teachings. You can hear it from me, and I can talk it clearly, but you really want to bring it to work in your life, take a class, get involved, and really bring it in, make it yours. The other thing that's changed is we have been having a meditation on Tuesdays at the 500 Bishop address. We are now putting that one online, so it will be available on Zoom at noon on Wednesdays. So we now have a midweek meditation. I will be leading it, except when I'm not, but somebody will be. And we will do that online so people can tap in from their desks or their work or wherever. And we're going to be putting out even more advertising on that so they know where it's coming from and how to find us. So if you know of anyone looking for a break in the middle of the week, it's a great a program and process to sit back and meditate at noon. What else has changed? Those are the two biggies. Monday nights is still happening. Prayer works that Reverend Angela takes care of for us each week. She does it for several centers, and quite a few people are still involved in that. If you have a birthday in October, be sure to be here the first Sunday in October so we can celebrate you. And I want to thank our volunteers, all of you. Are any of you here? Anybody volunteer? Stand up. Yeah, thank you. They're in the back. And then and down here and over there and, you know, all kinds of volunteers. Practitioners, we welcome you. We're grateful for you. You're the people who help keep me on track and keep us on track with the truth. Would you stand so we can recognize you? Yes. And I'm going to tell on Maya, because if you want to make a connection with her and face-to-face in person, she's going to be heading back to Kuwait before long. So be sure to say hello and get a face, because she can do amazing treatment from there. There is no space or time in consciousness. So don't hesitate where that's concerned. Also, thank you for our contributions. and our care ministry. We'll be hearing at the end of the month a lot more about our care ministry. But if you have needs or particular things going on that you need a treatment or particular care response from us, contact Aloma. Again, it's on the website. It's in the newsletter. And I think there's even a flyer out there about that. So don't hesitate. Okie doke. Let's get out of this hot box, okay? Join me in the closing. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth with the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is.